As we speak today, and we read this Psalm 41 through 3, and we begin to hear what the Word of the Lord is saying, I want you to really open your heart today. Because when the Lord spoke this into my heart to give to you, there was a distinct place that He wanted you to go to. As a matter of fact, the name of the message today is called That Place. That Place. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. Let me stop there. Has anybody ever been there? He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. We just sung a song, I Know Who I Am. And in one of the lines of that song, it said, I am secure. But I wonder today, across America and throughout this world, when people sing such lines in songs, how deeply do they really believe that? I'm going to go ahead and tell you where I'm leading you right now. I'm leading you to that place where you were at one time. There's a place in everyone's heart today that God has taken you. But oftentimes, people wander from that place and find themselves in another place where they're not confident, they're not secure, they don't feel loved, they don't feel friendship, they don't feel congregated, but they feel lonely, separated, and on the outside. He put a new song in my mouth. Not a song of this world. Great music in this world. No one should ever deny that. Great talent in this world. Great music and artistry and phenomenal composition. But there is nothing that can be compared to the song that God has put in your mouth. That song of praise, that song that magnifies His name, that song that may come out as you're driving, as you're walking, as you're jogging, as you're swimming, as you're exercising, as you're sitting, standing, that song that just comes out of praise, the song that all of a sudden your heart wells, not because it's overflowing. It wells because of the emotion that is pressing upon your tear ducts, and you begin to weep because you sense the very presence of a king that is taking time in your life to visit you and to deliver you and to give you a new song. I want you to lift your hand today if you would like to have a new song today. I want you to be honest today and lift your hand and say, I've gone through several months now where my song doesn't seem to be fresh anymore. Look at y'all. Now no one wants to put their hand up. Thank you. Because I know I'm not preaching to people that don't need to hear this. God never sends a letter by mistake. He never sends an email to the wrong email address. He doesn't send a text that you respond to and then He sends back and goes, oops, I sent it to the wrong person. Come on now. How many believe recently in the past few months that their song just hasn't been as fresh? Thank you. Look at all these hands start popping up now. You know, even if you didn't raise your hand, God knows who you are.
Yeah.
A song of praise, not to men, not to my mate, not to my spouse, not to my employer, but a song of praise to our God. Please don't forget who God is. God's not a pastor in a pulpit. He's not an evangelist in a crusade. He's not a prophet prophesying from the congregation. He's not one giving the gift of tongues and interpretation. God is not a figure that is there in some public office that seems to have an empowerment to make your life better if the vote goes your way. I simply want to say it the way I believe it is. God is God.
Amen.
And there is no other gods before Him.
That's right.
When we sing praise, we sing to a God that is glorified and has never known anything else but to be glorified. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He's the I am that I am. He was, He is now, and He shall be forever.
Amen.
He cares for you and I. He heard our cry when He heard us because we patiently waited, even though we desired that He show up immediately. We didn't give up waiting upon the Lord.
That's right.
Look at your neighbor and say, I am so glad that I never gave up. Many will see and fear. What are they going to see? They're going to see that God has taken you from destruction, from the filth of miry bog or clay, from a pit of despair and depression, a desolate place, taking you to now a place of secure victory in Jesus Christ. They're going to see someone singing who truly believes that there is a God who is alive forevermore, that lives within our heart, a King that has no other king above Him, because He is the capital K-I-N-G of all small K-I-N-G. The King of Kings. He's the capital L-O-R-D of all the small L-O-R-Ds. He's our Savior. That song also said that He's our friend. Now, I don't know what that means to you to have a friend. But to me, friendship is the dearest gift that God has given us here on this earth. There is nothing like a great friend. That's why every married person in this house, the husband and the wife, should be best friends. Because marriage is a place that God has shown us references the church and Jesus, Ephesians chapter 5. Praise be to the King of Kings and the Lord of glory. Friendship is awesome. Everyone loves a friend. And everyone can be hurt the most when their friend hurts them. Put a new song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear. And because of what they see in you, what they've heard from you, what they've witnessed God do in your life, it says they will put their trust in the Lord. You are the connection between the one who is in desolation and the one who has delivered you from desolation. You're that connection. Can I preach for a few moments now? Can I just get into this a little bit deeper? I don't want to shake you up too much today. But it's something that I believe that will change your life, because God wants you to come back to that place. Some of you today think that you're at that place, and I'm sad to say this. I'm burdened beyond the thought of words that I can explain. But you're not at that place. So let me just preach as an evangelist this morning and let you know that God is reaching through me to draw you back to that place. You see, there are many places and locations in the Bible that have that this statement is before the name of that place, pointing to a special place where the Lord had proven himself in such a way that the title was given to it. That place, such as in Genesis 22:14, that place of provision. What do you mean, Genesis 22:14? Well, just because you haven't read it, is where Abraham was with Isaac, his promise, his only promise, his miracle. His gift from God. It came through a miracle of impossibilities at his age and his wife's age. On a mount called Moriah. On an altar built by him. Lay his son tied and a knife in hand. To take from his throat to his loins and open him and dress him for proper sacrifice. Isaac was the lamb lying there. And the angel said, Abraham, stop. Abraham spoke faith because he once knew that there was the place where that promise came from. Are you with me? I don't want to lose some of you on the trail. So if I'm losing you on this trail, raise your hand and I'll get you where we are. He remembered the promise. He remembered how he laughed at God. He remembered his wife laughed at God. He remembered his wife lied and said she didn't. And he remembered the angel of the Lord said, yes, you did. He remembered every conversation, every kneaded bread, every bit of olive oil that was made and set before them. He remembered having lunch with them. He remembered the truth. He remembered that place, but now he was at a distance from that place. But he said to some people, his servants, the lad, referring to Isaac, and myself, we will return. Even though God had told him that Isaac was to be sacrificed. That place now became a new place for him. His promise was going to be surrendered. He was going to obey God no matter what. But God said, there is a ram in the thicket. And if you study out rams, they never went that high. God brought a miracle in a thicket to bring him back to the knowledge that wherever he may be, that place will never change. Amen. Don't let the enemy steal that place that God gave you in your walk with him. That's your personal place. That ram reminded Abraham that even though I was slaying the promise, he reminded me that that ram represents that place, that promise, that provision, and God will always provide for you. Would someone take time today and nudge your neighbor and say, we need to preach with him today? 1 Samuel 23:28. I'll reference it because I know you haven't memorized that. David was running from Saul, and Saul was running after David, and there was people in between those two trying to get them together so they'd see a good fight. Reminds me of humanity. Reminds me of church. Always somebody doing something to get people together to see a good fight. Ooh. But it's really unique when you read the story there in 1 Samuel 23 that David went on one side of the mountain and Saul went on the other side of the mountain because David had a place. Saul had disobeyed God and his place was taken from him, not ever to be returned. And someone came and right when he was about to strike at David from the other side of the mountain, and said, the Philistines are upon us. We need to go. And David saw something there, and he named that place the Rock of Escape. Do you remember when the enemy was about to take you out, and God showed up, and there was an escape route given to you, and you were free from sin? Do you remember when the doctor told you that you may have to be sick for quite a long time? Do you remember when something about your child came to you through a word of a doctor or someone else, but God came in the scene, and you saw a miracle of healing, a miracle of restoration, a miracle of unity? Unity brought back together that became disunity. God gave you a rock of escape. Jesus is your rock of escape. Jesus is the one that can take every problem, every situation, every difficulty, every circumstance, every valley, every crooked road, and straighten it out. Bring light into the darkest valley. Take the situation and circumstance and not have you living under it, but you to be victorious above it because you've flown like wings of an eagle. Those that wait upon the Lord shall what? Mount up! Look at your neighbor and say, mount up! Look at your neighbor and say, I'm going back to my place today. Mount up! I'm going to run and not get weary. I'm going to walk and not faint. Though I am old, I'm going to have more energy than the youth. That's what the Bible says in Isaiah 40. That's what it says right there. Praise God. A rock of escape. Do you remember your rock of escape? I could tell you story after story about my rock of escapes. Did you hear me say plural there? Escapes. Where I should have been dead, I'm alive today. Where I should have been taken to prison, I never went. Where my family was set in danger because of mistakes that I made, God clarified them and fixed them before error happened and crazy despair would have come upon my family. Rocks of escapes. No, not plural rocks, but a rock, Jesus, of escapes. Amen. Can I just take you to one other scripture? And it's found in 2 Samuel 5 and 20. What could that be? Could that be the Valley of Perazim? Where the Philistines were coming against David, and David said, shall I go up against him? And God says, go. When there wasn't any real thought that he could be victorious because of the amount of soldiers that he had and the evil Philistines that had no love for anything that had anything to do with God. David went up, and all of a sudden, God showed up. the master of breakthroughs. Do you remember your breakthrough? How many need a breakthrough today? How many would love to have a breakthrough in your situation today? You don't need to raise your hand. I already know what it is. I already can see into your spirit. I already know that there is something in your life that has to change. You know it. Some of you are thinking about some things that you haven't thought about in a long time. You're in despair. You're in depression. You're in fear. You're wondering where God is and why He has left you off. He hasn't left you off anywhere. Praise God. He's still there with you. He's your God. And He's going to come in like the flood and give you a breakthrough. He's going to give you a breakthrough. And speak that into your life right now. The place of repentance where you learn to commit and to learn to trust Him. You see, you don't repent till you trust. That's what keeps people from really repenting, because they really don't trust. But David found a place of breakthroughs. The master of breakthroughs. That wonderful God who came like a flood. Like a flood. A bursting of water and broke everything away. And what stood there was victory through Jesus Christ. Those places that you no longer walk, the old you, you don't have the old talk anymore. Where you stood in lies and did not have truth. Those aren't the places God wants you to return. But He wants you to remember that Psalm 1:1 was that you didn't walk any longer in those places. You didn't sit any longer with those people. And you didn't get together and with the scoffer and the mocker any longer, because you're on your way to the house of God. And you're on your way to your prayer closet. You're on your way to somewhere where there's going to be a concert and people are praising and loving God. Your life is brand new. You found God when God looked at you. You saw Him and He gave you His miracle power of forgiveness. Maybe we need to find that place again like David did in Psalm 27. What psalm is that, Pastor? Let me read that to you. Psalm 27 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" Stop being afraid, church. God is the light and your salvation. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. You see, when he wrote this psalm, enemies were coming at him from all sides. Have you ever felt like that, where all sides, everywhere you turned, enemies were coming? All you were looking for, and maybe all you're seeking this very moment, is just a little hope. Maybe a smile from someone that says, "I got your back." Maybe a friend who you just want to be able to sit by and know that they care. I'm here to tell you that God's got your back. God's that friend who will sit by you, and he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll always be there for you. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory, because he's the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Psalm 91 says that they fall 1,000 to my left and 10,000 to the right. The Bible declares when the enemy comes in way, in one way, he'll have to flee 7 ways. The Bible declares when you fall, you may fall 7 times, but you're going to get up each time. God's never going to let you fail. God's never going to let you go without. God's always going to be there for you. Well, preacher, how about those I'm praying for? He's got your back. got your back. Church, we've got to stop acting like God's somewhere in that screen. He's somewhere, I don't know. I knew he was coming. I don't really see him. He's somewhere. Let me tell you, God is all over me, the song said. I feel him in my feet. I feel him in my hands. I feel him all over me. I know who I am, I think. I get secure moments. I feel pretty confident at times. I used to have a bunch of friends. I think I have one or two left. I think I'm his. I think he's mine. There's a relationship somewhere along this route that I'm on. The reason that you're struggling with your life is because you've gone from that place where you have to base your whole relationship of life on. You've left that place, seeking another place that God does not want you to be. God's somewhere today. Ah, this isn't the day he visits our church. That's right. This is the other church day. I'm at the wrong place. No, you're at the right place at the right time, being reminded that you need to get back to that place. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arises against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I have asked of the Lord, that will I seek after. Now listen, one thing that I have asked of the Lord, that is what I'll seek after. All the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Yes. Yes. I just want to get to church. I just want to get to the altar. Yes. I just want to seek God. I want to find God. I want to know that he's there. I know that I feel lonely this very moment, but I just want to seek him. And I just want to let him know that no matter what happens, I will not leave my place. One of David's mighty men, of his 30 mighty men, one of these men was quite the character. He stood in a field of lentils, or as one person said, he's in a field of beans. He was in a field with a sword, and he would not give up the field to the Philistines. He wouldn't give up what he knew belonged to God, what he knew belonged to Jerusalem, what he knew belonged to Judah, what he knew belonged to the king, David. He knew that this was not the property of the Philistines. It was the property of God. And he wielded that sword. And when he was finished, the word says that in his hand the sword was stuck. He could not unclench his fist because he had fought so hard to protect that field. I think some of us, we see the enemy coming and we just put our sword down. It's like that person in the Halloween party that was happening at the church. Everyone was supposed to come dressed up and the preacher was there. And they were going to have a little party that night. And in walked, he took it real serious. And in walked this person. I mean, they must have gotten done in Hollywood or something. It was like Satan himself walked right in the door. Walked right down the aisle and sat right there in the front row. And all of a sudden, one by one, the congregation was out of there. They were gone, except for him. Came around the pulpit and walked down and looked right at this image. He said, "Don't hurt me. I've been with you all this time. They just don't know it." We need to get to that place where we met the Lord. Where we first met the Lord, where we got a breakthrough, where we got something that belonged to us, where that rock of escape was, where that provision came that only God could have given, where that sickness was healed that only God could have, where the child was saved that only God could have, where there was something that happened that this could only be God.
Amen.
I was reminded this couple weeks ago on Facebook. I had forgotten, but I was gently reminded by this testimony that was given on Facebook that I had prayed for a little baby that had a brain problem. The scan showed it was there. The mother called me and I came and laid hands on that baby. And they came and they took the baby back for all the treatment and they did the scan again and nothing was there. She saw the miracle that God did. I forget it because it's not me. I don't have a repertoire of trophies. I have a God that heals, who dwells within my heart, who says to you today, come back to your place because I want to bless you. I want you to get back to the temple. I want you to come into the house of God where you can find shelter in the day of your trouble. I want to be able for you to know that I'm going to conceal you and cover you as a tent would cover you. And I want to lift you high upon the rock, my son Jesus, and your enemies will come around, but they will not be able to touch you because you're going to have sacrifices of joy. And I will sing them and make melody unto the Lord. Fear grips you. But when you get into prayer, fear disappears. The phantom of fear and worry disappear in that place of prayer. Who doesn't want you to pray? The enemy of your soul doesn't want you to pray. He doesn't want you to have a disciplined prayer life. Preacher, help me there for a moment. Jesus came out of a 40-day fast. No food. 40-day fast. The first person he meets on that fast is the person of the enemy. Tempts him. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life tempts him. But the Bible says that he left him for a time. In other words, he was going to work on a plan to come back and get him, to tempt him. Let me say this to you right now, but we have to understand that there's a place that one went in the Old Testament, a place of prayer where you struggle or you wrestle in the spirit. Jacob was coming to see Esau and fear hit him because he remembered he cheated Esau of his birthright. They cheated him. But Esau was seen in the distance. That one that could hurt you sometimes shows up in a mental picture in the distance. That fear that you are so afraid of shows up in such a way that it stifles you, it paralyzes you, it takes your faith and wrenches it and squeezes it like a wet cloth till there's no drops left. You become tight and afraid and unable to communicate it. You put on a facade like everything's all right, but inside you're gripped by the phantom of fear because of the mental drawing that the enemy does when he attacks your mind. Genesis 32, 22 through 32, and I won't read it for time's sake, but I will tell you that he came across that brook. Jacob did. He told his female servants and all the 11 children and everybody to stay, and he crossed the ford of the Jabbok, the brook of the Jabbok. And he got over there and he met a man. And he began to wrestle with that man who represents the God I'm preaching to you about. They wrestled all night long. And the man said, "Let me go." He said, "I will not let you go till you bless me." Somebody in this house needs to get a hold of God again. Somebody in this house needs to get a hold of God and start to pray again. And God tell him, "You're not letting go of the hem of his garment till he blesses you." Stop settling for the devil's gifts. God wants to bless your household. God wants to touch you. He's saying to you, "I want to wrestle with you. I want to touch you. So when you do walk, people will notice you've been with me." Amen. Hallelujah. Your identity's not going to be the same. As a matter of fact, your identity's going to be so different. You're no longer Jacob. You are now Israel. I want to bless. I want him to come back to that place. A place where he had been touched, where he had been set free, a place where he knew that there was deliverance, a place that he knew that God had set him in a new direction and given him a new title and given him a new identity. And he faced Esau, and Esau blessed him because Esau saw there was a new person. It wasn't the same Jacob. It was a new person. God wants to bring in something new into your life. We need to keep our ancient boundaries set. We need to make sure that what we have, our landmarks are set. We need to know that there's a generation in the past that set boundaries, and we try to change those boundaries. We want to try to get God to be outside those boundaries. God lives within boundaries of holiness and boundaries of love and boundaries of compassion, boundaries of justification, boundaries upon boundaries upon boundaries of his word. There's a place of justification that you once knew. There's a place of sanctification that you once knew. There's a place of healing, spiritual and physical, that you once knew. Has anybody ever been healed here? There's a place of darkness. Has anybody ever been in a valley? There's a place of darkness that God takes us to form our character. Don't forget who we created in that valley. Don't forget how he shaped you and molded you and gave you the substance to move forward. Then there's the place of confusion that we go to sometimes. Have you ever been there? Where God takes you to a place where there seems to be no life? Nothing's happening? You're praying for provision, and all of a sudden, there's no provision. You're confused. The Bible says, whatever you ask in Jesus' name, my Father will do it. I am confident that which I have requested of him, he will do it because he heareth my prayer. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. Oh, praise God. You're confident because of Philippians 1 and 6, and he shall perform that work in me, and he'll do it until the day. You're confident because Paul said, "I am fully persuaded that that which I have given unto him, he's able to keep." Place of confusion. Ezekiel felt that place. God led him to a place of dry bones. What are we doing here? God said, "Can these bones live?" He was just saying, do you have faith in me? I'm asking you a question today before I make this altar call. Do you have faith in God? Look at your situation. Don't hide right now. Don't take this manuscript that God gave me to draw a picture into your heart right now and close the door really quickly. Do you have faith that God can raise you up again? Do you have faith that God can use you? Do you have faith that God can take whatever looks dim and old and decrepit and promise never came about and I shelved it, it's over, and the promise is dead, has no life. Might as well not even pray about it. It's dead. God said, "Do you believe these dry bones can live?" I tell you what, I love Ezekiel because of a lot of things. I love him because he went through his ministry and he never had a convert, but he never gave up. I love him because he had enough wisdom to say to God, "Only thou knowest, Lord." That's too big for me to understand, God. But I'm here with you today because only you know if these bones can live. God said, prophesy over the bones. And when he began to prophesy, the Spirit of God began to move over that which was dead. The Spirit of God began to move over Abraham's loins. The Spirit of God began to move over Sarah's womb. The Spirit of God began to move over this earth, and it created life. Yeah. He can do this for you today. He can do this. He could bring those bones to a rattling sound of music. Praise God. Empowerment. Yes. Faith. Yes. Lazarus came out of the tomb. Elijah came out of the cave. Wherever it seems like nothing's going to happen, it can happen. Remember your promise that God gave you. Remember the place where you got that promise. How many today want to come to an altar designed by the Lord through a manuscript that he placed in a preacher's heart to say, God, I'm coming back to that place.